Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to a brand new episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest is a food writer. She's a businesswoman and founder of Deliciously Ella. She's also the mum of two girls, almost four, five and almost four. It's Ella Mills. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in. I can literally remember the walk I was having with my newborn, with one of my best mates. We were talking about the fact that I'd just become a veggie. I'm not anymore, but back then I was. And she said to me, so we're talking about 10 years ago, and she said to me, you need to follow this girl online, she's amazing. And it was you.
That
but it's so,
so funny.
You know, I have a clear memory of the first time that I got introduced to one of your recipes.
That's so funny. Well, thank you. So I always find it really surreal with people who you've been interacting with, like listening to your show,
yeah,
and then to know they've been doing that with you.
Yeah.
It's a really, yeah, I find it very surreal and very meaningful.
Yeah. How are you? How is life?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Genuinely good. Not like, it's fine.
The gritted teeth, just
exactly.
Slightly rocking. It's
yeah.
Fine. It's fine.
It's fine. I'd say it's fine for many years, but I feel like, yeah, this year's good. Finding much better balance in life, obviously, like ebbs and flows every single day,
yeah.
Week, month. But generally speaking, I feel a lot calmer and more on top of life than I have done in a long time.
It's really hard, the balance thing. And I think, I would imagine, especially doing all the things that you do and juggling all those balls and plates, let's do the whole thing, you know, to kind of want to seize the moment and build the company and do all of that stuff, but actually also go, but I'm a mum and I need to do that stuff as well. I'm finding that, but because you don't want those opportunities to go because you've worked so hard, but at the same time, you've got life in the house that you need to nurture. I feel like there are moments where I get it right and there are moments where all the plates smash, all the balls fall and I'm just like, this isn't great.
Oh, 100%. Like there's so many balls in there,
yeah,
on any given day. I think I used to be a lot harder on myself about it and on almost, I don't think I knew I was striving for perfectionism, but I think I was trying to tick a lot of boxes every single day.
Yeah.
And actually, it stopped me from enjoying so much of it because I think every time I wasn't really very present wherever I was because I was always trying to make sure all the other things got done.
Yeah.
And I feel I've learned gently, slowly, still learning to take a little bit more of a step back and accept that, as you said, some days you're going to do a really good job of work and parenting and some days you're not, and that's okay.
Yeah.
life throws all sorts of weird and wonderful things at you, and it's okay to ebb and flow.
Yeah.
And I think in my earlier days of parenting, and obviously I'm still learning so much, I really felt like I had to get it right all the time. And ultimately you don't. And so mm-hmm. then you keep feeling like you're not good enough and like you're not doing a good enough job.
I wish someone would tell you that before you even become a parent. I had one person say to me, when I remember being in drama school, and one of my tutors was a mum of two. I remember just casually one day she said, "You feel guilty from the moment you fall pregnant and it never stops." And that's still stuck in my head. I'm like, well, that's so true. Whether you're doing something or not, you're always going to feel guilty.
100%. I think that is really innate in us because you can't be in two places. You can't get it all right. And I think that's where I'm trying to learn that sense of self-compassion of just realising, as I said, some days you are going to get the balance right and some weeks you're not.
Yeah.
And ultimately, do you know what? My mother-in-law had a really busy career. She was a politician. She had two children, my husband and his sister. And she worked so hard and they always felt she was there. They never felt she missed anything in their life, even though she was at work so much of the time. And that has been a really nice, I've tried to really embody that in myself, which is that, you know, being there when it matters to them and being there whenever you can is so important, but they could still think you're a great mum if you weren't there 24/7.
Yeah. Have you talked to her about how she achieved that?
No, she passed away just before my first daughter was born.
Oh.
Which I wish I could take a deeper dive into. So I only get it through my husband, really. But I still stick with that. It's like, it is possible. That's my model.
It's funny. Like my dad worked all hours, godsend. He used to run a cafe, so very different. But he was leaving at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, back quite late. When he got home, he was asleep, you know. But he was such a massive part of my childhood and I have great memories. So I think sometimes we have this thing of we need to be there 24/7 when actually we don't to have that bond and to be that influence in someone's life.
No, exactly. And I think it's the same. I used to feel like you had to do loads of activities and you had to do lots of things. And actually more and more, I'm like, no, it's okay. We can just be together.
Mm.
They can play. I can read a book. Like we don't have to be on all the time.
Yeah. There's something that I do where, say they want to watch Mr. Bean the cartoon. I'm like, great, you can watch an episode and then I'll run around the kitchen and do some tidying up. But what I've learned to do is sit down with them because that's the time that they want to snuggle. And that's, you know, it's actually such a nice thing to be able to be in that with them rather than going off and using the time to tidy up, which they won't notice at all.
100%. You know what? I really reflected on it. So when my first daughter, Skye, was born, so she was born in the summer 2019. I was so overwhelmed when she was born. Yeah. I was so anxious. I had really intrusive thoughts, but I didn't really know what to do with it. So I didn't really express it. We had to go back to work after 4 weeks, which was really, obviously really challenging. And what I noticed was that my husband would come home and it doesn't matter what had been going on that day. It doesn't matter how busy he was. He would come home. He was obsessed with skin to skin. He would literally just like take off his chair, lie in the bed with her on his chest and they would just sleep together. And they would spend, even though he was working so hard, they spent hours and hours of time together. And whenever he wasn't working, he would just chill with her. Whereas exactly that, I feel like I missed that completely. I didn't really do any of that with her because I felt exactly I had to tick all the boxes, had to tidy up, I had to sort this, I had to book the injections, I had to reply to this email, I had to send those WhatsApps, and I was always go, 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 go.
Yeah.
And as a result, I feel I miss so much of her first 6 months or so because I was not present at all. I was like, what have I got to do? What have I got to do? How do I take the box of being a good mum, essentially, and keep on top of life?
I can remember a friend of mine saying to me, isn't it lovely? And I think it must have been with Buzz, who was already kind of, well, he wasn't a year. Well, he must have been a year. But she said to me, you know, isn't it just lovely when they fall asleep on you? And be like, oh, my, I haven't done that because the book said I need to do this. And so I was like, I haven't done it. And you realise that actually there's such a small window where they are that age and they are that size. And I did start doing that. And I think it's only my third, really, that I allowed myself to properly be there and block out everything else.
Yeah, I did it so much more second time around.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It was such an amazing experience. I feel so lucky for that. But it's, and I think that's all fed into just trying to let go a little bit of the tick boxing because you just miss so much.
Mm. What was your childhood like?
complicated.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm really conscious of that, you know, so much of life isn't your story to tell. And certainly that's how I feel with a lot of it. But obviously, like, anyone has good bits, but it was, especially in retrospect, extraordinarily complicated and quite charged,
right,
and quite difficult to navigate. So
do you feel like you were aware of that as a child?
Yes and no. It was very, it clearly had an impact on me, and I was really unhappy, and was for a very, very long time, had very low self-esteem. But I think it took me a long time to kind of, yeah, recognize what's normal, what kind of family dynamics I would want, mm-hmm, or would want to model for my children. And it was really meeting, yeah, my husband and his family, who had a very simple relationship between, right, the four of them, with his parents and his sister, that was quite a mirror to actually quite how complicated it has been. Mm-hmm. And actually, as a result, how complicated I think I was in so many ways, which was quite confronting.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ever look ahead to your future and see yourself as a mum? Was that something that you wanted, even though family life was complicated?
It wasn't something I wanted or didn't want. Mm-hmm. I hadn't spent very much time thinking about it, nor had I spent much time thinking about getting married. I actually didn't think I probably ever did want to get married, which is quite funny because I got married at 24, so I got married so young, before anyone else I knew. Which you probably therefore would have assumed I was quite fixated on getting, yeah, married, because it's very, very young to do that nowadays. So when I met my husband, I told him, you know, I don't think I ever want to get married. You know, I had never really thought about having children. I didn't think about not having them, but yeah, it was in this like massive fixation or focus. And so it was really interesting. And then I met him, and after a week, I was like, yeah, I'd marry him.
Really?
Yeah. Within a week after our first date, we moved in together. 3 months later, he'd quit his job to work together. So we'd been working together our whole relationship. We'd got a dog. Then we were engaged, and we were married within a year.
Oh, my, yeah, gosh.
So in retrospect, mad. Like, if it was my kid, I would not. You know, you'd want to be supportive, but equally, you're like, you're 23.
Yeah.
You've got a dog. Now he's quit his job and you're starting a business together. Is this a great idea?
Yeah. At what point did you meet his family?
We actually met through our parents. So my dad used to work with his mum.
Right.
And Delicious Yellow had just taken off. My first book had just come out. And he was working on a farming project in Sierra Leone. I mean, so we're quite random at this point. They had been hit really badly by Ebola,
right,
and the original plans of what they were doing out there. So they were really interested in their farms and the ingredients that they were growing and what could they do with them. And he read an interview that I had done in the Sunday Times after my book had come out, and thought, oh, well, maybe we could work with her. She could create something with our ingredients and we could sell it as a snack bar.
Yeah.
And he realised that he knew my dad. And so he sent him an email because he'd met him through his mum. And I had just broken up with my boyfriend of 4 years or so. Right. And my dad sent me a message being like, this is the guy for you. I was like, I'm not interested. You know, I was really enjoying being single. I was, yeah, having this really exciting moment of my career. I didn't really want to be match made by my dad, particularly.
That feels quite old school.
It was really, oh yeah, it's a full arranged marriage at 24. It's an unusual setup. My dad's like, what's happening with photos of him? It was quite weird. But we met, and then I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to see him again, because that's the kind of person that you marry, and I don't really want to go near that at the moment. Yeah. And then, as I said, yeah, on our third date, we moved in together, and that was that.
I mean, that's wild.
And especially because people always think, oh, you must be like a real romantic, and actually it was like the absolute opposite kind of...
Do you not think that's romantic?
No, it is really romantic. Yeah. Well, no, what I mean, sorry, is that people would assume that I was like romantic, that you would believe in love at first sight and being like swept off your feet, whereas I'd gone into this like heart of stone, like, I mean, not a romantic.
This is ideal, like, book territory. You know, girl who's kind of anti-marriage meets the guy and he sweeps her off.
Moves in with him after a week.
Yeah. And all the business side. I mean, it worked marriage-wise and business-wise.
Yeah, so we're 9 years in and all good. So all's well that ends well.
Can you remember when you started thinking about children?
Well, after we got married, so that was 2016, so a year after we met, we were like, let's have kids, because I would say it's fair to say we're all or nothing.
I just love this fact as well, that you're a bit like, childhood was complicated, I don't really know, you know, I'm going to be a lone wolf growing through life,
yeah.
And all of a sudden it's kind of like, you're fully in.
Fully in, literally.
And excited about it.
Oh, you know so excited, like, couldn't have been happier if I tried. And we thought about it, but actually, like, work was really busy, yeah. And I'm so glad that we didn't, like, actually do anything with those thoughts, because we were just not ready.
Right.
And then I think we consistently felt we weren't ready, and work was so busy, you know, startup mode, where you're kind of 18 hours a day, 7 days a week,
yeah.
52 weeks a year. And so it just felt, how on earth would you ever fit a baby into this? And then in 2017, my mother-in-law was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. And that was our kind of marker, really, of thinking just, and it really happened within like minutes. Everything was fine. She was in such good health. And then I was actually in the US with work, and my husband had gone away for a few days with his friends in Scotland playing golf. And literally the second he arrived at the hotel they were staying at, he got a call from the police, who his mum had had a big seizure when she was out and about. And anyway, so at that point, we didn't know if she was okay. Like, did she make it through the night? So I got on an overnight flight back from New York, not really knowing what I'd land back to. And then over the next few days, we found out that she had a terminal brain cancer, and that she had less than a year's life expectancy from that. Which obviously turns everything upside down, mm-hmm. and priorities obviously completely shift. And I think it was that sense of, like, you know, life, the only certainty in life is uncertainty. And we all know that. But I think sometimes you have those really concrete reminders where actually we don't even know what's going to happen 1 minute from now. You do only have this moment. And so actually, like, there will never be a good time.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, we could put it off forever. You know, when you're growing your own business, like, it's so uncertain. Things are always changing. And if we tried to kind of plan it, it was never going to work. And so we thought about it, but actually, as in when, after she'd been diagnosed and then obviously our child would be able to meet her, but actually we felt like it was going to be such a difficult period, and everyone needed to be just really present to support her and my father-in-law, and actually, you know, not adding necessarily any more dynamics into it. But after she passed away, she had grown up in Scotland and spent a lot of time on the west coast of Scotland, and the Isle of Skye was her favourite place. And so the day after her funeral, we went up there together with my father-in-law and my sister-in-law. And when we were there, we were like, you know what, this is the right time. And if it's a girl, we'll call her Skye.
No.
And so, yeah, so then we had Skye.
That's incredible. I think it's such a, I want to say sad, in terms of, it's sad that it takes something like death for us all to live.
Exactly. But it was that prompt. It definitely was of, like, we could put this off forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
And life was so busy and so topsy-turvy. But actually, you know, we have no idea what the future holds. So why do that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So she was, born summer 2019.
So you literally started trying from the moment on Skye?
No, a few months later. But then, and I know we're really lucky with this, but we just thought, like, look, we're not going to really try.
Yeah.
We're just not going to not try. And we're going to see what happens. We're not going to plan, basically. And we'll get pregnant at some point, hopefully. And that will be brilliant. And then we were pregnant that week. So that was quite overwhelming. And I know I'm really lucky, but also I was like, oh my gosh, okay, this works.
Because you spend your whole life going, mustn't get pregnant, mustn't
exactly.
get pregnant, mustn't get pregnant.
And, and then suddenly you were like, oh, okay. So I called my mum and I was like, when you were pregnant, did you have any, like, funny symptoms? And so I was like, either, because I felt so ill almost immediately, like,
right.
about 10 days before I could even take a test.
Right.
So I thought, either I'm actually really ill and I should go to the hospital,
yeah.
or I'm pregnant and I'm feeling it really early. And I'd had a lot of complications to my health in the past, so I guess it's not, my body is very sensitive, so it's not that surprising in some ways, but... and my mum was like, why are you thinking about getting pregnant? I was like, I think maybe I am pregnant. She was like, take a test. I was like, no, I can't. It's so early. But anyway, so we found out. And we found out my husband's birthday. So it was all quite full circle. And
because of everything that happened with your health previously, which led to you creating Delicious Viella, were you worried in terms of fertility, whether things would take a while?
I was less worried about fertility and more worried about symptoms coming back and kind of, regressing in my health. And but weirdly, my first pregnancy was awful.
Really?
It was just particularly the first about 16 weeks. I went back to the real sense of chronic fatigue I'd had when I was ill, where the idea of lifting up your arm feels difficult, like an exhaustion that's kind of in your bones. And a lot of nausea as well, but it was the extreme exhaustion, where, as I said, it was like you could have slept all day, wouldn't have made any difference whatsoever.
Really?
The idea of like standing up and walking into the toilet was just overwhelmingly exhausting.
How did you manage that?
I found it really, really difficult. And in retrospect, I would do it differently. I would be honest about people, but there's this whole taboo, like, don't tell anyone you're pregnant. Don't tell anyone you're pregnant. And actually, I told everyone I was pregnant the second time around because I'm such an open book. I hate not being completely transparent and probably an oversharer, to say the least. And I like being close with the people I spend time with and the people I work with. And so I found it really strange. I just felt like I was lying to everyone all day and doing a really bad job of everything. Without any explanation. And people obviously would be so much more understanding about you missing every deadline. And also I was meant to be handing in a cookbook and I couldn't even look at a vegetable without retching.
No.
So very off-brand.
So off-brand.
So off-brand. Yeah, no, I literally...
You must have been like, of all the things.
I know, it's so off-brand.
Can't look at baked beans and be like that. Or...
Yeah, no, honestly, I remember like opening the fridge and being like, come on, it's been like a month without a vegetable. Look, get this broccoli out, do something with it. And I literally looked at the broccoli and started retching. And I was like,
so
okay.
Are you telling me that during that time, did you go onto a beige diet?
A fully beige, 100% beige.
Really?
Yeah. Only beige. Yeah. Whereas with my second pregnancy, nothing. Didn't know I was pregnant.
And do you feel like in those, I mean, sometimes you've just got no choice. Like if you're going to retch when you see a broccoli.
Don't eat broccoli.
You have to go for the beige.
Exactly. 100%. And it got much better by about 16 weeks then.
What kind of beige food were you eating? Come on, let's go on.
Potatoes every way. That was really my thing. Like mashed, roasted, crisps, chips, like just all baked potatoes, all the potatoes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a delicious meal. My thing that I got real craving for though, which is really gross in retrospect, was really, really, really lemony chips, but not putting a little bit of vinegar on your chips, like a portion of chips with two lemons over them, like really salty as well. Disgusting. I remember being in a restaurant with my husband and his dad and being like, and it was an Italian restaurant and I'd ordered some pasta and I had ordered really plain pasta because I was like, I think that's all I can cope with.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I can't even eat this. And I was like, do you have any chips? And they were like, on the kids menu. I was like, great, can I just have a couple portions of that with some lemons? I was so embarrassed.
Did part of you go, this might change the shape of cookbooks to come?
Yeah, exactly. Here's 100 ways to eat chips with lemon. You don't want to make any of these. 0 stars on Amazon. It was really gross.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Did you have any symptoms second time around?
None. Yeah, none at all.
And had you decided, like, now start? Because I always find this really fascinating, going from one to two, when you make that leap. Like, my third was a nice surprise for us, but one to two for us, I was like, well, I can remember Buzz being 9 months old and being like, blimey, people that have had 18 months between them, the siblings that we know, the friends that we know, that means they did it now. Like, how would we do it now? Like, it blew my mind.
Yeah, well, we've got 14-month gaps.
Yes, I know.
So, yeah. It was honestly similar to the first time round, where we were like, we can't plan anything in our life. Yeah. It's everything is so different every single day. So let's not. Yeah. And let's just see what happens. But again, it was... I just didn't think I was pregnant. And I was with... I'd gone away with my mum. My mum had actually tried to go away on a romantic trip with her partner, which then crashed because they'd rented this house by me, with a baby, my brother with a baby, and then one of my girlfriends. So I'm not sure her partner was too impressed. But we went on this like sort of semi-family trip. And when I was there, I was talking to my friend and I was like, it's weird, you know, after you have a baby and your periods are just like so irregular. And she's like, well, maybe you're actually pregnant. I said, no, not possible. So I was quite... I was quite overwhelmed initially at the idea of it, because Sky was only a couple of months old at this point. But actually, it has been phenomenal, and I would wholeheartedly recommend the tiny age gap. It's really difficult to start with. I mean, obviously, the first like 6 months or so, because the older one can't do anything by themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they can't feed themselves. They can't even like competently walk up the stairs, get themselves dressed, even if it's back to front. You know, they can't put their shoes on. They can't do anything by themselves really at 14 months. They can't even talk. So you do have two infants basically. So I think it's probably quite similar in a way to twins, but obviously at different developmental stages. But then as they got a little bit bigger, they are now just complete soul sisters. They're obsessed with each other. They sleep together. They want to do everything together. And because they're the same age, it is not easy, but what one of them wants to do, the other one wants to do. So every single birthday party, the other one is so excited to go to it. And things like that. So it makes it quite easy, actually. And when one has a play date, the other one can go too, and they can all play together. And that has just like logistically been kind of brilliant. But they have this, it feels like this like inbuilt little best friend. So and they are obsessed with each other. Obviously, 5% of the time they like bite and kick and hit each other, just like to caveat, of course. But actually, yeah, they adore each other.
How were the rest of your pregnancies after your severe, you know, severeness, I guess, for the first, and your easiness, I guess, for the second? How were the
second one was really easy until the end.
Right.
And then I had something called prodromal labour, where you have contractions every day for almost 5 weeks, which was a real experience.
I've never even heard of that.
My mum had it, funny enough, with my sister, who is her fourth. I'm one of four. And but she didn't know what it was. And she eventually, after about 2 weeks, was like, went in and was like, please induce me. I think I'm going to give birth on the floor on the school run.
Right.
So she did that. But luckily, the midwife said that I think this is what it is, because it started just before 36 weeks. The baby was kind of fully engaged. I mean, she was born in an hour, so she was right there and ready to go. And for 3 or 4 hours every single day, you have contractions. And so I felt like I was going mad, really.
But did you know that it wasn't it, though?
No, because that you do after a minute, because they don't change.
Right.
It starts at a level.
Right.
And it starts a bit higher. You know, normally it starts low and it builds, right? Whereas with this, it doesn't start quite as low. I mean, I remember with my first contractions, first time around, you're like, is that a contraction? And then after like half an hour, you're like, oh, it definitely is. And then an hour later, you're like, oh, yep. and it doesn't do that kind of like more of a linear line. It was just like would start at, say, a 3 or 4 and stay there for 3 or 4 hours. So you know quite quickly it's not progressing.
Okay.
But you can't do much while it's happening. And I became quite nervous because she was so engaged, and the midwife was like, honestly, if you now go into labour, which you obviously could do any second, she could be born in 20 minutes, half an hour. Like, she is right there. and so I was really nervous of doing anything.
Kind of 4 weeks. You know, yeah. I know that you don't know when the baby's going to arrive, but to know that kind of like this is us until she does come.
I know. It was so strange. And so like, and also with what we do, we make food products. And so my husband works, we work with loads of different manufacturers up and down the country. So yeah. He would say like, but you know, it's a 6 week period. Like, it's quite difficult to say you can't do your work. You can't get on a train 3 hours away for these really important things, because I could give birth at any second of any day. And obviously that's always the case, but not necessarily to the point where the baby feels like it's just going to pop out on the street. So it was such a strange mindset shift and experience, and trying to like surrender to it when actually you feel like you're going a bit mad. So that was really interesting.
So when you did go into labour, did that feel instantly differently?
No, not instantly. And actually, funny enough, having for almost 5 weeks being like, please just be the real deal. Yeah. Like, let's go now. I can't do this anymore. Then my Sky was ill. My husband was coldy. And I was like, just don't come. You know what? Like, don't come today. Like, we've been playing this game for a long time now. If you could just stay in for a couple of days, so everyone's better, that would now be good. And Sky was a few weeks early and I was already at about 41 weeks at this point. So I was like, you can just stay in, okay? Just chill. And then he'd gone to sleep and I was watching David Attenborough and I was like, oh. Yeah, and it was a gentler contraction than those had been. So I was like, oh, maybe. So I texted our midwives, we were doing a home birth, and I was like, oh, I think that might be real. And she was like, I don't think she believed me. And after like 20 minutes, I was like, I think that's might be. And so I woke my husband up and she was born just over an hour later.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really, really sudden.
Had you had a home birth with the first?
Yeah.
What led you to go down the home birth route?
And look, I'll just caveat this whole conversation. I know parenting is a whole world of opinions and thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. But this is what's right for you.
Exactly. And I had never obviously heard good things about birth, as I think most women is their experience. My mum hadn't had bad births, like traumatic stories, but certainly didn't enjoy birth. Mm. And then when I got pregnant, I put it on Instagram at 12 weeks with Sky, and I had all these messages from these women saying giving birth was the best day of my life, not because of the baby, as in that was amazing, but it was the most empowering day of my life. Birth was the most extraordinary experience I've ever had. I loved giving birth. And I was like, sorry,
what is this? What is this trickery?
This is a very different line of conversation than I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
And there was this common thread, which was this hypnobirthing and a kind of real focus on mindfulness. And initially I thought, I think as a lot of people do, like, surely you can't just like breathe a baby out. But I went and did this hypnobirthing course, and it was really interesting because it was so focused on the physiology of birth and the hormones that you need, and the idea that it's really difficult to have lots of oxytocin when you're feeling really nervous and you've got loads of adrenaline, and those two are antagonistic to each other. And this idea that like, just how all the sort of steps of birth work, and that your body is looking for you to be calm, essentially produce loads of oxytocin, etc., for the process to work. And the more I thought about that, and I think also because I had been very unwell and I'd spent a lot of time in and out of hospital in my early 20s, I probably felt more nervous in hospital than maybe other people do. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, some people feel much safer there. Whenever I step in there, I feel uncomfortable and I feel nervous. And so I started to learn as much as I could about this idea. And so it was less about breathing the baby out as too much as understanding what's going on in your body and trying to lean into those natural processes as much as possible. And I just thought it was so interesting. And my husband was not completely sure. And then the more we read about it, like there's, you know, particularly because of the NHS focused on it more for a second time around, but the stats around home births are amazing, actually, if you've got an uncomplicated pregnancy.
Yeah.
And so I just felt that was the right thing to do for us.
Yeah.
And I have to say, both such different experiences. Sky was not long for a first child, but I think about 12, 13 hours from first and contraction to the end. And hers was actually, my water's broke and I woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, am I wet in the bed?
I love that even, like, that's the first thought.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because I was like, why am I lying in a massive wet patch?
Because it's not out of the like realms of possibility.
No, exactly.
When you've got a massive baby belt.
Exactly. And she was a couple of weeks early and we were meant to be going to an old friend of mine's wedding in Oxford that day. And so luckily it didn't happen like on the train or anything on the way there. But so, and that was a bit weird, therefore, because then all my friends knew I was in labour, because obviously I didn't go.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, how's it going? It's fine, thanks. Working hard over here. It was so intense, obviously, as birth is, but it was a really empowering experience. Like, I did feel so amazing after it, and I did... I don't know if I would say enjoy it, but I did. I'm glad I had the experience.
Yeah.
And it was, as I said, a really empowering, strengthening experience.
Yeah.
Because it takes you so far beyond what you think your mental and your physical limits.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's how people feel when they run an ultra marathon or, you know, these extraordinary, or an Ironman, these things that feel beyond normal physical abilities. And I think that's how I felt at the end of it. Like, just so proud to have done that.
I feel like looking back, I was talking about it the other day to someone. It's like time when you're in labour just disappears.
Gone. Although I didn't feel that in the second one because
it was
just so fast that I actually was more overwhelmed almost second time around, because the first time around felt natural. Like, it made sense. It built. The last couple of hours were really difficult, but it felt, I kind of got it, and it was like your body was, you know, doing its thing. Whereas the second time around, it was just so fast. I was like, oh my God.
So my second was the same. I would describe mine as almost animalistic, in the sense that it felt like my body expelled him.
That was it. Exactly.
And he had bloodshot eyes for the first month because he came out so fast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
it was exactly that. It's like your body took over.
Yep.
First time around, I feel like my body and my brain was like working together a little bit more. And the second time around, it was exactly that. It was like, you have no control. Mm-hmm. And that was really overwhelming, actually. And I was like, oh my God, keep it inside. I'm not ready. I remember sort of saying that, and the midwife was like, no, don't try and do that.
Can't suck it back in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, definitely different. And then with Sky, the first time around, the midwife was like, keep pushing. And I was like, no, she's out. She came out all in one go. And after like 2.5 hours of pushing in one, she just suddenly, and so she like expelled into the water, because I had like a blow up paddling pool in our guest room. And my husband was like, is this an on brand birth? It's all wellness vibes, like yoga music. We had coconut water. But yeah, she like, and then I kind of lost her for a second, like a slippery soap bar in the bath. I was like, oh my gosh, where's the baby?
I know she's out.
The midwife's like, keep going. I was like, she's out. We just don't know where she is.
Oh my gosh.
And obviously it was probably only 1 second, still it was just like very strange.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, two very different experiences in some way, but would... Yeah, I think it's not for everyone having them at home, but it is a really amazing
thing. Well, how was
thing.
That afterwards? Because I know the midwife will then clean everything up, so it's not like nothing's happened.
Yeah.
What was it like then getting into your own bed?
I mean, that was the bit that made me be like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be at home. Yeah, to just like get into your own things in your own bed, have your food.
Yeah.
So nice.
Yeah.
So nice.
I love that. Ella, there's one thing that I couldn't have you on without talking about, and that's obviously food.
Yeah.
Firstly, your latest book, what is it called?
Healthy Made Simple.
Healthy Made Simple. There's been out since January.
January,
so I'm saying it's a new book. It's the
new-ish.
Latest. Newish. When it comes to creating recipes and stuff now, are your kids inspiring new recipes?
They definitely inspired a new way of looking at food, which was the prompt of a healthy meal.
Nice and quickly,
quickly, because ultimately, and it was finding that balance between like flavour, nutrition and ease, because ultimately, for most people, you don't just have to be a parent, obviously, for that to be the case, we're just so short on time.
Yeah.
And it's all about how do we make people's life, how can we make healthy habits a bit simpler? It's the same with all the products we do. We know people love cooking from scratch. You don't have time to do that three meals a day, every snack every day. Uh-huh. So can we give you some shortcuts? And so definitely being a parent has really heightened that focus on how can we do things in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes that really help people. Because I think one of the frustrations I have, and I've spent 12 years in the world of wellness and really seen it kind of go from niche and left field to a $1 trillion industry, or multi-trillion dollar industry, is that it is filled with fads and gadgets and gizmos and trends, and it becomes really overwhelming for people. And I think particularly for parents who, you know, only have real smidgens of time and want to feel good in themselves and want to have more energy, but ultimately like don't have much energy, time, you know, emotional load to give to these things. And so I feel quite strongly that we need to move it back to just simple habits. Can you go for a 15-minute walk, maybe even without your phone? Can you get up 10 minutes earlier and do 5 minutes of breathing to try and just create a slight sense of calm before the chaos begins? Yeah. Can you make a 15-minute dinner? These just small things like batch cooking. Like I am now the Tupperware lady.
Are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm like a full Tupperware lady, 100%, because it's the way we can do it.
Yeah.
Because I race home from work and otherwise it's really overwhelming, whereas then I've got stuff ready to go. It takes me 2 minutes. It's so easy. So that's been the big shift, is just trying to break things down and move it away from feeling like it has to be complicated, and actually just highlighting like a carrot is wellness, lentils are wellness. You don't need to do like cold water swimming. If you want to, that's amazing. But to feel like these things are kind of a prerequisite to good health, I think that's what I'm trying to move away from and focus, as I said, instead of daily walk, 5 minutes of breathing, make a veggie stir fry, these simple everyday habits. And that was definitely prompted by kids. But obviously cooking for kids is a minefield.
Was it something that you were excited about?
Yes, and then I had a very disappointing start.
What did you go with? What did you lead with?
I led with a baby porridge, which she literally threw across the room. So it was very interesting. She basically didn't, Skye basically didn't eat till she was almost one.
Really?
And it was so stressful. I remember being in like the baby NCT WhatsApp and people were like, oh my gosh, my baby's eating 3 bowls of porridge every morning. I'm like, mine won't eat anything. And she wouldn't do anything till she could do it herself. So I didn't intend to do baby-led weaning, as I had like extreme anxiety at this point. The idea of that made me feel really overwhelmed and anxious. Yeah. I was obsessed with choking and the rest of it. But she wouldn't let me feed anything off a spoon. So as a result, she didn't really eat anything till she was almost one, because she couldn't, you know, you kind of chew on it for 2 minutes.
And,
but, you know, by the time you're able to do that, so that was quite nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But again, a good lesson in like they figure it all out in time by themselves. And she now eats really well and, you know, she's great. And that was just her path to it. But yeah, that she wouldn't eat anything. Nothing.
That must have been so disappointing.
Oh my gosh, it was so disappointing. I was like, had the camera ready. I was like, this is the big day. And she's like, yuck. And then tried avocado, yuck. Banana, yuck. Because she just wouldn't have anything from us.
Especially since so much focus for you. People must have been like, they must have big expectations for you as a mum.
Oh, for sure. Exactly. And I'm like, not meeting those. So that was interesting. And obviously, like, you know, you work really hard, you make something, and then they're like, I don't like it. And then the next day, like, this is my favourite, mummy. And I'm like, yesterday you said you hated it.
Oh, we always have it the other way around, where they love something the first time, and the second time they're like, this is disgusting. I'm like, well, you ate it last week.
I know.
How?
It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I always just have, like, easy wins. Like, I make lots of things like frozen smoothie lollies.
Right.
Which is so easy because you can chuck in lots of good ingredients in there, nuts, seeds, fruits, etc. And they love that sort of thing. And I'm like, yes. They're having loads of fruit and veg and fibre and stuff.
They just don't know it.
You can like freeze cauliflower and blend it in. You can't taste it. Actually makes it really creamy. They'd never eat cauliflower otherwise. But you can just put it in there with banana, with fruit. You genuinely can't actually taste it, or a bit of spinach. And so it's these like easy things. I make massive veggie bolognese's or like five bean chili type things, and you can just chuck in any vegetable you have, but they can't really see them, so they won't object. Whereas sometimes they'll like roast broccoli, and then the next day exactly they'll be like, gross, hate this, this is not my favourite.
I feel a sense of relief that it also happens to you. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. Yeah, no, we obviously, like, it ebbs and it flows. Yeah. But I think, isn't it, you know, look, I'm only 5 years into this. I've got so much more to learn. But I think that is my number one learning of, like, it's just, it does ebb and it flows and it changes, and you just slightly have to trust the process that what's difficult this week probably won't be difficult in time, and then something else will be difficult and then that will ease. And you just slightly have to trust the process. And I think that's really hard to do to start with. Like, it's really hard to trust, okay, why are all other babies eating and she's not yet? And now I look at her and she's five, and it couldn't be less of a problem if we tried. And so it is that kind of cyclical thing, isn't it? And it's trying to relax into that, which is a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Are yours constantly asking for snacks?
Yes.
Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah, constantly. 100%.
If you could write a letter on motherhood, who would it be to and what would you say?
Gosh, what a question. Do you know what? I think I'd write it. I think I'd love to write to my sisters because they're younger. They don't have children. And I think I'd like to. It's exactly what everything we've talked about and everything you do, obviously, on this show, is that sense of, like, quite how overwhelming it is to begin with, how difficult most people find those early days, how much you stop trusting yourself at points, how much you're kind of comparing to other people, you're trying to do something and it's all so new and so overwhelming. But this idea that it does, as we were saying, like, it does all slightly gently start to ease out. And that's not to say there aren't challenges, but it's not quite so overwhelming. And I think there is that, just trying to give people permission to enjoy it and not be so hard on themselves and find a bit more self-compassion, because it can be just so extraordinarily overwhelming.
For me, especially those early days where it feels so raw and messy and, you know, I think especially first time around, because it's all so new. You know, you don't recognise yourself.
No.
This little person is, you know, although you've grown them, they're alien to you. They don't, you don't know what their cries are.
And you don't know what to do with them.
No.
You know, how do I feed? What does, you said, what does this mean? What do they need? And I'm just being like, just tell me what you need.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you can't do that.
But also, it's the fact that that baby comes into your life when you are at your, like, weakest, physically and mentally and emotionally. You've not slept and, you know, you've, your body's done such a massive thing.
Exactly. And it is, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
But then it's, you know, you're all nervous to say it's terrifying. She don't want to sound ungrateful, unappreciative. So it is an interesting balance. And I think that's always the case in motherhood in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like you to complete three sentences for me.
Okay.
So the first one is, being a mum means?
It's everything, really. Yeah, everything. It is my whole world.
Since having children, I'm
a lot more self-compassionate and slower.
I love that. And I'm happy when?
All family. Yeah, with my whole family.
Aww.
Yeah. And I think as my husband and I are so obsessed with that, that's now what the girls say. Like, whenever I'm like, what's made? We try and do, like, gratitudes and things like that. And so, well, what's made you happy? Say, being with my mummy, my daddy, and my sister, and my doggy.
Oh,
I know. Even if we haven't already been together that day, it's so sweet.
That's so lovely.
I know.
I love that.
Yeah, we do. We spend so much time, just the four of us.
Yeah.
Like, obsessively.
And it also makes that, the time where you've had to work, you know, all hours.
Yeah.
It makes it really worthwhile now.
Oh, 100%. Really enjoy it. Exactly.
Yeah. Ella, thank you so much. I've loved this chat.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Not at all. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.